1 Timothy 5, we're looking at verses 3 through 16 together. Let's begin reading. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. These things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. For if she have brought up children, if she hath lodged strangers, if she hath washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they've begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they've cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Now, when we were dealing with this passage last week, it would be two weeks ago, we gave the following simple summary statement. The following section gives specific instructions relating to widows, so that the church will know how to counsel and care for those who are most vulnerable. Last week, what we did is we looked at really a biblical view of how we are to relate to those who are in this vulnerable position, a position like a widow or a child who is fatherless. And by the way, really, we could go beyond that to say that there are people who are not in this exact category, but we could still say that the person is in a very vulnerable position. And the principles that we're going to glean from this text in front of us, really, we can apply them in those contexts. So even though you may have a situation where you might say, well, this is a person that we are not fully responsible to take care of because they're not a widow indeed in the sense that the text is talking about, the principles that really support that driving point really could be applied potentially in certain contexts. So we really do need to think carefully about that, because it's not just this case that we need to think about, it's also other cases that could be applications that really flow out of those principles. I hope that makes sense, okay? So the first thing that we looked at is we need to be a family to those who are vulnerable. And the way that he puts it in verse 3 is he says, honor widows that are widows indeed. When we use that term honor, we saw that that's the exact same word that's used in Ephesians 6 when it tells us we're to honor our father and our mother. So this is part of the Ten Commandments. This is part of the Ephesians 6 passage. We're not just supposed to obey mom and dad as children, but as we get older, as we're no longer under their authority, we continue to show them honor. We continue to show this tremendous concern for them, that we look out for them. And so it has the idea of showing their value and giving them reverence, putting weight on them as individuals. Then he talks about those who are widows indeed. And this is a very specific category of widows. So not to be too technical, but he's not going to put every single widow in the same category. And that's not to say that if one person's a widow in one category versus another, that they're okay and there's no issue there. He's not suggesting that. He's just saying that there are certain things that a person who's a widow indeed is going to face that another widow will not. And the church is really going to have to step in, and they're going to have to take care of that lady in that situation, because she really has nobody else to look out for her. At the same time, I think it's important that we recognize, even if someone's not a widow indeed in the sense that this text is talking about, we're still supposed to look out for them, okay? And when we talk about the role of a deacon, the very first time the scriptures talk about deacons, it was about a controversy related to widows, some who are being taken care of and some who are being neglected. And so really the first time we see that office established in the church It's in connection to this issue of widows and needing to be cared for. So we realize that this is a really big topic, and it was a really big topic in the early church. The second thing that we talked about last time we gathered was we talked about the Old Testament background of looking out for those who are vulnerable. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 to 20, we saw that God has a heart of compassion and mercy and kindness towards those who are extremely vulnerable. We saw in Exodus 22 that God warns us about those who would take advantage of the vulnerable. And the idea is that not only does he warn people that would do that, but at the same time, he's saying we should be alert to make sure that we look out for those that could potentially be taken advantage of. It's extremely important. Then we got into a couple of things in the Mosaic Law that were connected to how God put into the whole legal system of the nation ways that those individuals who were disadvantaged, who were very vulnerable, particularly widows, and also those who were orphans, those who had a mom living but not a dad living, those kinds of situations, how those people were looked out for. In fact, we saw in Deuteronomy 14 that part of the tithe that was taken by the nation was actually set aside not just for the Levites, but it was also set aside for those individuals that were in that category, strangers, fatherless, widows. We also saw that God provided a way in their system where those who had large plots of land and were farming their land were supposed to leave sections of that land unharvested so that those individuals who were in that position could go out and they could actually get food for themselves without just getting a free handout. In other words, he was encouraging people not to be idle. He was encouraging them to be industrious, to work hard, but he also recognized that they didn't have the means to go out and do some of the things that a landowner was able to do. He even goes so far as to say that when you're collecting in all the produce and you drop some, just leave it there so that they can come by and get it. And it's really interesting. We look at the story of Ruth. Ruth goes out, and Boaz actually tells his men, he said, do you see that lady over there? Make sure that you accidentally drop a little extra for her, and she's going to go and she's going to get that. So what we see there is that God genuinely cares about those who are disadvantaged. We see his compassionate heart, and the reality is that we need to have the same compassionate heart for the people that we see that are in that situation. One of the reasons that God blesses his people is so that they can in turn bless other people. We're supposed to be channels of God's goodness to other people. His hands that are doing the work are these hands right here and your hands right there. And so the way that God takes care of people many times is through the labors of his people. Then we got into the New Testament. We just mentioned one simple passage. That's James 1:27. And he says, pure religion before God and the Father is to visit, has in the idea of looking out for the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And so the idea is that when a person has a vibrant, healthy Christian walk, they look out for people that are vulnerable. They care about people that are vulnerable. So this evening, I'd like us to get into some of the specifics about what this text says about how we minister. In fact, one of the things that we need to keep in check is, it's not just that we have a heart to help people, but we need to do it in a godly way. Just because I want to help somebody doesn't mean that I'm going to do it in a way that actually helps them. So let me give you this illustration. I've lived in a developing country. We used to call them third world countries. That's not politically correct anymore, okay? But countries that are not on the same economic standard as the United States, okay? And I remember what it was like the very first time that I would drive down the road, or even ride, because I didn't even have a driver's license at that time, ride down the road, and you would have people that were beggars, and they would be there every single day pleading for money and pleading for something. And they would line up right outside the airport where people are going to drive by. And I just remember seeing that and just like it grabs your heart and you say, what do I do with this? It's a really hard thing to see. I know what it's like to go through situations like that where you see people who have genuine need and you say, how do I help them? I know what it's also like to have people knock on my door every single morning as soon as I wake up because they want me to pay school fees, they have some kind of medicine they want to get. And the reality is you can get to the point where you become the local community bank, okay? And so the thing that we have to recognize is that there are certain principles that should drive the way that we help people who are in need. It's not just that we want to have a big heart, but we want to have a big heart that actually goes out and does something, okay? It's not enough to just feel compassion. We actually need to do something active for people. But at the same time, we don't want to do something out of a heart of compassion that actually encourages poor behavior, that actually encourages people to not be responsible. That's not a good use of the resources God's given us. God wants us to be stewards of the resources that he gives us. That means we're supposed to manage those things. So if I'm helping people in a way that's really encouraging them not to take responsibility at the expense of not helping people who really need to be helped, then I'm actually not managing those resources wisely. I'm encouraging poor behavior. And one of the things that you'll realize is that if you don't help people in a good way, in the right way, in the long term, you will never really help them. If you could give every person in the United States $10,000 every couple of months, there are some people that would use that money extremely wisely, and there are others that would waste it the moment that it hit their bank account. And they would not improve in life in any way. If anything, it would actually bring their quality of life down because they would become less responsible because they became dependent upon that handout, and it would actually ruin them. It would destroy them. It would destroy that drive to actually do something with their life. What's really interesting is that Paul, believe it or not, is addressing that issue when we come to 1 Timothy chapter 5. So we see that we need to minister in a godly way. Here's how he expresses it in verse 4. If any widow have. You say, why do you have that little phrase there? The reason I emphasize that is because he says, before he gets into, here are the widows that you have to help financially. You actually have to put them on a roll, and they're actually going to be like paid like the pastor, okay, for lack of a better way to put it. We're going to actually physically take care of these ladies. He says, not every single person in the church that is a widow should be in that situation. And I'm going to explain to you who should and who shouldn't be. That's what he's saying. Here are a couple of thoughts about ministry as we get into this. The first is this: we need to have a big heart. I hope that you do. I hope that when you see somebody who is in a desperate situation, you don't immediately in your mind say, I wonder what horrible decisions they made or what terrible behaviors that they have in their lives, what terrible addictions they have to get them there. It's possible that that's the case. But it's also possible that that's not the case. You don't know. So make sure that you don't prejudge people in situations. Have a big heart. Have compassionate. Love people. We need to be merciful. We need to be empathetic. We need to actually care about people and their circumstances. It's very easy for us to think that everybody's life is like our life. One of the things that happens when young people go on a missions trip to a country that's not like the United States, and they drive down the road and they walk through a village and they interact with people, they are floored, they are shocked that people actually live that way in the 21st century. They're shocked. They don't even know how to process that. They don't know how to process that. In fact, it's really good sometimes for people to get that exposure. That is normal life for a lot of people in the world. We need to have compassion on people who are in difficult situations. We need to realize that not all help is good help or even appropriate help. It is possible for us to help in a way that God would actually say is wrong. Believe it or not, that's the case. We could actually be violating Scripture by helping people in a way that God says not to do it. We got to be careful. It's possible to help a person in a way that's ultimately detrimental to their future. He addresses that in here. It's possible to help somebody in a way that's a poor stewardship of resource. We've addressed that. And it's possible to help in a way that takes opportunities away from those whom we need to minister to. The truth is that there are times that it's actually not my job to do that ministry, it's somebody else's job. In other words, it might be their kid's job. It might be their nephew's job, or their niece's job, or their grandchildren's job. And so we don't want to take away an opportunity for a family member who is ultimately responsible to minister to an elderly parent or somebody like that. We don't want to take away that opportunity that God has placed on their shoulders. He wants them to minister in that way. And so we're going to see that also laid out in this text. So let me give you six principles. Maybe we get through them tonight. No, we won't. Looking at my time. We will not get through them tonight. But we'll get into a couple of these principles that will help us to think about how to help people in a godly way. Principle one is this. We can't, nor should we, financially support all widows. Let me say that again. We can't, nor should we, financially support all widows. And by the way, in principle, we can't, nor should we, help every single person that is in a very difficult position in life. It's the reality. It's true. In other words, there are some people that it's not our role, it's not our job to step in and be in those shoes. Now, it could be that we, over time, eventually have to get there, but initially, no. And how do we know that? Well, here's what it says in verses 3 and 4. He says, honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or, this is interesting, nephews. That's a really interesting statement. Children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now, don't miss the wording here. He says, if a widow has a child or has a nephew, and in our thinking, we say, I'm not responsible to take care of my aunt. But I want you to realize that in the Eastern mindset, the way that people look at family is different than the way that we do in the United States. In fact, it was extremely common when somebody says, this is my father, this is my mother, that was not their biological father. It was not their biological mother. It was a person that had invested in them and was a father figure or a mother figure. It would be somebody who was an aunt or an uncle. And so when they use that term, this is my father, this is my mother, basically what they're saying is this is a person who's invested tremendously in my life. It could be biological mom and dad. It could be an aunt or uncle. It could be a person that was very influential in their life. But this is somebody that's invested in me. I am being carried by this person in life. I'm building off of their shoulders, and so I honor that person. He says, if there's a person, a widow, that has children or nephews who are living, then it is their responsibility to take care of their family member. You say, well, what about in a situation where they're being irresponsible? Well, we have to consider that. Okay, let's say that these are people that are not believers and it's a delicate, difficult situation. It could be that we have to get into that situation and say, nobody's taking care of this person. Maybe we need to step in and take that role. Okay, we could get to that place at some point. But according to the text of Scripture, particularly if this person has believing relatives, then we need to go to them and say, hey, you know what? Your mom, your aunt is a widow. Has nobody to take care of them, you need to take the responsibility to look out for them. You say a church should do that? Of course they should. Absolutely. If we had a member in our church, the mom was destitute, the aunt was destitute, and they were just allowing them to be in that position, and we ignored it, we would be wrong as a church to do that. We need to go to them and try to help them, encourage them, teach them, talk through this with them, talk to them about how they could go about doing that. You say, well, that's going to put a huge weight, a huge, heavy, heavy responsibility on that person or those individuals. And the answer is, I know it's true. Somebody needs to take this role. Somebody needs to look out for them. And it's so interesting how he puts it. He says, let them, not the widow, but let the children, let the nephews, those individuals that really should be taking care of this other person, let them show piety at home and requite their parents. This is good and acceptable before God.
You know, it's interesting. There are many people who go through this season of life. Many people. I remember my own mom and dad taking care of my grandma when she had dementia. I believe it was 7 years. My mom went to that house daily, multiple times a day. I remember going with my mom to the house, and she did everything for my grandma. My grandma had no idea she was even doing it. I remember that. Same thing with my grandfather. I know there are people in our church right now, in our congregation, who have done this, are doing it, or know that they're going to be doing that at some point in the near future. And I want you to realize something. The investment of your time and your energies is something that pleases God. You might say, you know, this really held me back for a period of life. The labors that I would put into my job, my education, whatever it was. A lot of times a young person, they're going through college, they finish up college, they're in a season of life where the family members say, well, let's put you in this role because you're not working and supporting yourself right now. And they carry that load and it sets them back in life. I know those kinds of things happen. And that's a very frustrating position to be in. But I want you to realize something. According to the scripture, this is good and acceptable before God. This is a vital role of ministry. A vital role of ministry. This is an extension of the power of the gospel. This is growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. This is sanctification at work. This is ministry. God is very pleased with it. I know missionaries who have come off the field to take care of an aging parent. And there might be some people that would say, was that the right decision? And I'd say, biblically, absolutely it was. Absolutely it was. There are situations like this. We need to be a people that in our minds we say, you know what, there may be times that we're going to have to step into that role. And we may step into that role for years. And that may be a very difficult role that we're in. And it may involve a lot of financial stress. It may involve a lot of physical stress. Lots of things can happen. But the reality is that this is an important job that we're supposed to take on. And let me encourage you with this. If you're ever in that role, as a church, we need to support you in that role. That's really important. Because really the sense of the text is that these people need to take that responsibility, and we as the church are to encourage them in that. And part of that might be coming alongside and encouraging them as they're doing it. So two kinds of widows. Widows who need to be watched out for but are not to be financially supported, and widows who are so vulnerable that they need to be financially supported by the church. But this principle is extremely important. We can't, nor should we as a church, financially support every single widow. Second principle, and this will be the one we stop on tonight. We shouldn't help in a way that eliminates personal responsibility. Now, really, that's kind of already been stated, but I want us to notice it really from that standpoint. In verse 4, he says, let them learn to show piety at home and requite their parents. That is good and acceptable to God. The fact is that if we step into the role that they're supposed to take, we are taking away from them a job that God has assigned to them. Okay? For lack of a better way of putting it, we have taken their job and set it to the side and said, no, we're going to assume that responsibility for you. And we shouldn't do that. Rather, we should be encouraging them as they assume that responsibility. There's a really big difference. There's a difference between me doing it for you and me coming along and helping you do your job successfully. That's really my job as a pastor. It's to invest in you spiritually through the ministry of the word so that you're equipped to do the work of the ministry. And that's what we're supposed to do when we have a person in this situation. We are supposed to equip them, encourage them, strengthen them, help them so that they take their responsibility seriously. And in verse 16, we're going to see that we're supposed to do this because this ultimately will free up resources for the church for appropriate purposes. In verse 16, he says, if any man or woman that believeth hath widows, let them relieve them. Let not the church be charged. And here is the key. He says that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So the truth is that our church financially has a certain financial strength level, okay? There is a sense where if we give to a certain point, we will begin neglecting our own families. And we shouldn't encourage the church to do that, okay? We should encourage our church family to give responsibly. In other words, don't neglect your family so that you're giving to another individual. But what really ends up happening is that the church has a certain level that it can actually do responsibly. And so that amount of money that's given to the church, that amount of strength, that amount of energy, those resources can only go so far. And so basically what he's saying is this. If you're giving to areas where you shouldn't, you're going to neglect areas where you should. And this is the way it works in life. Whoever is crying the loudest gets the most attention. And sometimes it's the one that doesn't say anything that most needs the attention. And so he's basically saying, listen, be responsible in how you manage the resources that God has given you. I'm going to stop there because the next section is actually quite complicated. In fact, he's going to get into this issue of how we're supposed to support those in this role. And what's really interesting as we talk about this topic of a widow who's a widow indeed, who's actually put on the financial role of the church, it appears that this individual was going to make a commitment to the church so that they were actually going to take a role of ministry responsibility in the church, not a teaching role, but a ministering role. Very similar to the kind of role that you would expect a deacon and his wife to have, where they are ministering to the shut-ins, they're ministering to those who are physically vulnerable, they're managing resources. This widow is a widow indeed who's actually going to be financially supported by the church, is not just going to be a freeloader, okay? She's not just going to be loafing. She's going to be working and serving in the church. She's going to have a vital role of ministry, but in order to do that, she's going to have to make a commitment. And because of that commitment, it's going to really end her future potential getting married, having children. But there's a reason that he says, 60 and above, right? Don't have to worry about some of those things at that point. But we're going to get into that. There's a lot to be talked about under this topic of ladies being a part of the role of the church. But I want to stop there because of how much is involved in that discussion. Are there any questions or comments about this topic? Because it's probably a topic you don't hear addressed very often, just being kind of odd, Yes?
I've heard the term charity begins at home.
Yes. Charity begins at home. Yeah. Yeah. And he's actually going to go, he's going to say it quite bluntly. He's going to say, if you don't provide for your own, then you're worse than an infidel. You are acting like not just an unbeliever, somebody that doesn't know the Lord, but somebody who doesn't have a normal conscience about what's appropriate. That's really the sense there. So, yeah, charity begins at home. Yeah. And what's sad is that there is a tendency that we take care of those who are not in our homes more than we take care of our own homes sometimes. There's the old adage that, the plumber's got a leaky faucet and things like that, and we laugh about that, but, everybody's so busy helping other people that we don't take care of our own families. That happens. How many times do pastors, deacons, people in church ministry, they're ministering to the congregation to the detriment of their own families? And it's a tremendous danger. So yes, ministry really begins in our homes. And that's very important. So, any other questions, comments? Okay, let's bow together for prayer, and then we will look at our prayer bulletins tonight. Father, thank you for the opportunity to look at this very important topic. Help us to be responsible in the way that we manage resources. Help us to help in a way that doesn't hurt people in the long run. Help us to do things in a way that most pleases you and is most beneficial to your people. Pray that you'll bless our time of prayer together. May we have sweet fellowship. And as we share our burdens and then as we bring them to you, I pray that you would work in us and through us in a very special way this evening. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.